No, we, you know, I mean, we just, we, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
Say that one more time, please. One more time. Boom! One more time. Boom!
Welcome to the Barry Essentials. On today's show, we recap the Week 17 loss against the Seahawks and much more. What's happening, Prez?
What's happening, Prez? Well, I had some vacation vibes, A-Dub. Hey, audience, happy holidays to y'all. Bruh, I just, you know, took some time, man. You know, you and I have been grinding, you know, with DBE and Chicago State of Mind. I said, going on a trip. So the fam and I, man, we rolled out on the cruise and I just got back actually yesterday. So, man, just chilling, man. Just really, man, taking some time to reflect. And honestly, audience, I watched that fucking Bears game and we'll talk about it. But goddamn, I was like, I'm not letting this team ruin my fucking vacation. So when that game was over, I went back to the casino. I was like, fuck these motherfuckers, man. They ain't, nope. That old me, I'd been pressed all night about that damn game.
I know you would have been. And the good thing is that you were on vacation, man. You had some time to chill with the fam, man. I know that was dope in itself. So that building those bonds and that camaraderie there, man, always dope.
Man, what you get into, man? Because I didn't even get a chance to holler at you because I was, listen, bro, I was off the grid.
You know what, man? I've done the same thing. I didn't go on any vacation or anything like that, but I kind of stood home and, you know, with the family, you know, just chilling and getting a chance to just, you know, enjoy that moment, you know, because again, you're right, reflecting and seeing how your family changed over time is good to really catch up, you know? Because, you know, everybody got something going on different, Prez. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, what's been going on with you? You know, because myself, my boy Prez, we've been locked in. I don't have a lot of time. So that was the moment for me to really just sit back and say, hey, look, be in the moment, understand what's going on with everyone else and checking in.
Yeah, I love the last part, what you said, be in the moment. And that's something for me on that trip. I was definitely trying to be intentional for that because, bro, man, on the average day, I'm flying here, driving here, recording this, recording that. So you're right, man. Sometimes it is tough, man, when you're on the go, when you're on the grind to stay connected with folks. And I'm really trying to do better with that.
Yeah, because you and I both know this, Prez, you know. And I know it sounds so cliche when people say it, but life is short, man. So it's like, hey, I don't want to miss certain moments or miss certain opportunities with family.
It is cliche, but it's true, though. You know, and the thing about it is, though, we can control, you know, being better and being more intentional and stuff like that. So I hope everybody out here that's listening, hope you guys had a happy holidays. And as you go into this new year, really just try to prioritize whatever works for you, whatever that looks like. If you don't want people around you, that's totally fine, too, you know. But, you know, but I'd say for me, man, like Dub said, as I get older, Dub, I was going to say this. I realize, man, and there's more days behind me than I have ahead of me. So I just want to make sure, man, I just want to enjoy this ride and then what's left of
it. I'm the same way, man. And right now, it's a good start for us, right, to do that.
Sir. But, man, I will tell you, this damn Bears team, man, embarrassed themselves once again. 6-3 loss. 3 fucking points, A-Dub. 3 points. We can't even put this one on the defense, bro. The defense did everything it needed to do for them to win this game.
Yeah, offense don't show up at all. And we just seen this week after week where the offense at times struggled, man. And to only score 3 points, 3 in the first half, nothing in the second half, you get blank. And it's like, man, when is offense going to ever gel? It hasn't gelled all season, really. You know what I mean? So here we are, week 17. We're still talking about the offense not being able to score points. And it's just been a tough year for the Chicago Bears when we talk about the offensive side of football.
Man, that shit was embarrassing, bro. Like, legit. Now I'm on this damn cruise ship, and, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, you're from Chicago, this and that. I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever. And I'm over here really low-key like, man, I hope they don't fucking embarrass me on this goddamn ship. Man, I just want to have a good night, bro. That game, man, there was like literally like in the cruise ship bar, there was like about 100 people in there, packed. Everybody wanted to watch some Thursday night football. Bruh, by the third quarter, man, people dipped up out of there. I was like, yeah, I don't blame y'all. This is snooze fest. This is embarrassing. I don't know why they put us on national TV so much this year.
Yeah, I mean, time and time again, this is what occurs for the Chicago Bears. And, you know, I got to give it to the defense because you're right. They didn't embarrass you at all, Perez, but the offense definitely did, you know. And to continue to rack up losses, that's what really hurts the most. Like, man, another loss. Like, geez, when can you all break the losing streak?
Well, we're going to get into the losing streaks, man, because we're going to have multiple double-digit losing streaks in the Ryan Poles era here in Chicago. And you talk about the losing streak, A-Dub. Now we have 10 consecutive games that the Bears have lost this season. But Bears Nation, this ain't the first time under the Ryan Poles regime or era or tenure or whatever you want to call it that we've seen this. Because we had a 14-game losing streak back in the 2022-23 season. And so we're going to get into that a little bit later because I want to address Mr. Take Back the North and Never Give It Back. Shit. I want to have a conversation with him. My God, bro. This shit been awful. This is your example. Take it back to North. AW, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm petty. As you know, audience, you guys probably know this as well. On the ship, I went back to that 2022 press conference when Brian Poles sat up there, had his chest all poked out, and was talking that good shit. And we all went for it. We fell for it, A-Dub. I did too. I got all lathered up. I'm like, yeah, meathead Bears fans. Woo, let's go. Now I'm sitting back. I'm like, bruh, we were sold another set of fucking false promises. And I'm sick and tired of it. But we're going to get into that later. Get into that later. But you know, man, Bears fans, A-Dub, they're fed up. At that game, we heard those chants, sell the team. Bruh, this fan base is sick and tired of the bullshit. Sick and tired of the bullshit.
And the fan base should, Prez. And when you see your team continue to lose, you look around, you look at the Detroit Lions, how well they've been playing. Look at the Packers, how well they've been playing. Look at the Vikings, how well they've been playing. And then you look at yourself, like, wait a minute. It's like, hey, we're the worst team, you know, in the division by far. And when the division doing well and you're not, man, that makes it even worse. So now you got the fan base like, hey, enough is enough now. You know what? We've been losing for too long. We keep hearing about the fact that, hey, we're moving in the right direction. But now all of a sudden we take like three steps backwards, you know? This is not a good thing here, especially under Ryan Poles. It's like, hey, something needs to be done about this because now it's becoming, you know, a thing where this Chicago Bears team just cannot win.
The elephant in the room, the common denominator has always been the same thing. It's always been the McCaskey family. And George McCaskey, I mean, at the end of the day, man, he might be a swell guy. You know, as people tell me, oh, George is such a good guy. He goes out and talks to the fans at the tailgates. Man, fuck all that. At the end of the day, what are you doing to build a championship contending team? I don't care that you go out there and you placate the fans and act like you care. And you, I want to sit over here. No. And if people sit over here and they would tell me, Virginia's mad. Fuck Virginia being mad. I'm mad. Dub's mad. We got people that listen to this show that write into us, people that comment to us, people that text us. This fan base is mad, and we've been mad. All you guys do is continue to take the fan base money and want to sit over here and act like, oh, we're so upset. Oh, my God, we understand your pain. No, you don't, because you guys are laughing all the way to the bank. This shit means something to us. The McCaskey family, A-Dub, they were born into this shit. They're not football people. They don't get it. And that's the problem I have with this damn team. Eberflus, yeah, he was the problem, but he wasn't the sole problem. And that's the thing. We have fired all these damn coaches. We have fired all these GMs. We probably going to fire another one. Going to have to hire another coach. But look who's still here, A-Dub. Who's still here? Who's at the head of the snake?
McCaskey's.
And that's the thing. When he fired Lovey, as you brought up so many times on this show, he basically tried to act like it was a standard that he wanted to see here. And since 2011, bro, we ain't seen, you know what, we have seen a standard. A standard of mediocre play on the field. Winning one playoff game? Is that the standard, A-Dub? Because to me, now, that don't sound like shit.
It's been a disaster since Lovey left. And it's called what it is, bro. It hasn't been good at all, man. And it seems like it's not even getting any better. And a lot of talking has been done, Perez. You heard it. You talked about it just a second ago with all the, hey, giving us hope. And the fan base really is tired of the hope thing. The Bears fans want to see results. Like, hey, I don't want to hear about, oh, we're going to take back the North. I don't want to hear about, oh, you know what? That happened. We're going to hire some new people. We're on the right track. No, no. People are tired of that, Perez. Tired of the talking, right? We want to see results. Give us a good quality team. Give us a team like some of the others in this division, you know? Give us something like that. Give us great coaching, you know? Give us a great culture because we don't have that in Chicago. You've been talking about culture for a long time, Perez, and look where we are right now. The coach is still bad no matter what we do. We can move in a new GM. We can move in a new head coach. We can move in good players. At the end of the day, man, the culture is still bad.
And you got to look at it from the standpoint that I sat here and said before the season that offensively, I thought that we had decent weapons surrounding Caleb Williams. And I said, hey, Caleb, you got no excuse. We all envisioned that this season was going to go a different way, Dub. Never in my wildest fucking imagination, bro, that I think that we will be still here talking about a team that's going to be drafting in the top 10. I just didn't see that happening this season, bro. And for me, for Ryan Poles to be sitting here and he's talking about, well, it traces back to training camp issues. That shit was not a good look for him, bro. Because this is also the same GM that sat up here and told the media that he has never been as happy and impressed by the offensive line depth that they entered the season with. So which one is it, Ryan? See, he makes it sit up there and lie. See, these people, they lie to us. These coaches, these GMs, they will sit here and they will lie to your face. And that's why the media, and that's why people that podcast, that's why you got to hold these folks accountable. Hold them accountable to their words. Ryan Poles, you lied, bro. You lied. And this is on you, bro. You the one. In your 3 years as GM of this team has not addressed not only the offensive line, but the defensive line. But you are a former offensive lineman. Ian Cunningham, you guys were offensive linemen. What the fuck? You went out. This is their second young quarterback that you were putting behind these brutal offensive lines. Shit's criminal, bro.
You know what makes it worse, Perez, is when you talk about Ryan Poles saying certain things, right? Before the season started, he was like, hey, this is the best I felt about the offensive line. You remember that quote he made? I may be paraphrasing a little bit around that, but he felt so confident in the offensive line. And to go out for that O-line to play the way it played this season, it's like, wow, you just sold the Chicago Bears fans on a dream, you know, because that offensive line was nowhere near what you envisioned or what you thought. And you're the one who put this O-line together. And you put together, you know, the centerpiece. It's like, hey, this is what you did, Ryan Poles. You pretty much built this offensive line, and it became a disaster. So because we don't have no Pro Bowl linemen on the team. No one even near that, Perez. And you got to look at yourself, Ryan Poles, and say, hey, I've done a bad job. No, when it comes down to the O-line, I sold the fans on a dream. I got to take full ownership of that. We can't take blame or place blame nowhere else but on you, Ryan Poles, when it comes to that.
Listen, bro, I agree with what you're saying there, A-Dub. I really do. But let's just, okay. I got a lot to say about Ryan Poles right now. And I'm frustrated, man, because, yeah. Again, like I said, I was excited, man, when he was at that opening press conference when he came in here. Because I was like, oh, this is a breath of fresh air, man. Like, because we were coming off the stupid nonsense with Ryan Pace and him spending up all the damn money on the wrong players. And I said, okay, we got somebody that's coming in here that I hope understands what he's doing. And we all gave him the benefit of the doubt. That first year, when he had to clean house and he had to cut the payroll and he had to make tough decisions, fine.
Yeah.
We were okay with that. But, bro, come on, man. We're sitting back here. The wrong coaches are being hired that they have to fire. Again, not addressing the offensive line. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let them off the hook for that. But again, in the draft, bro, how many difference makers has he drafted? I'll wait. Caleb Williams fell in your lap. You can't really take credit for that one. Shit. My mom would have drafted Caleb Williams number one. When we talk about the culture, as you brought up a second ago, A-Dub, the culture that he has cultivated here is one of losing. That shit seeps into your entire locker room. When I'm sitting over here looking at DJ Moore, that shit is so fucking terrible seeing how DJ Moore, he looks like, I don't know what the fuck is going on this season. And fans would try to go after DJ Moore. I was like, hey, listen, this shit's fucked up. But I'm not going to sit over here and say DJ Moore don't want to win. You can just tell. Look at a guy like Jalen Johnson. These are guys that want to win. They don't want to lose. That's why Jalen Johnson was going off on Eberflus. When Eberflus tried to come in there with that bullshit, Jalen Johnson told him to take his ass on somewhere with that shit. If anybody thinks that these players don't want to win, you're crazy. But I don't think that the schemes that we have in place, I don't understand the coaching decisions. How does the offensive line coach, Chris Morgan, how does he still have a job?
Don't get me started on Chris Morgan. Don't get me started there, Perez. Do not get me started on Chris Morgan.
Well,
man.
Let him have it. Let him have it. Because, Dub, how does he have a job?
Because you heard Tevin Jenkins talked about it early in the season. Tevin Jenkins said, hey, we're doing what the offensive line coaches are telling us to do.
That's right.
He's basically doing on the bus, right? Early on, like, hey, it's not our technique. We're doing what they're asking us to do. So if it's not working, look at the coaching staff. And people miss what Tevin Jenkins was saying early in the season, bro. No one thought about it and say, hey, what Chris Morgan is over there doing? Because you got to look at the line and say, look, nothing is working. Caleb Williams out there on the island by himself a lot of times. All they got to do is send pressure on Caleb Williams, and it's either a sack or it's overweight, right? The whole series is blown up, you know? But that's what's been going on all season long. And you look at the offensive line coach, you got to say, Morgan, what are you doing, coach? How are you going to get these guys to jail? All we're doing now has been playing musical chairs to try to find the right combination, but these are things that should have been hashed out, you know, in the offseason. And look where we are, Prince, still having major O-line issues all the way up until week 17, bro. That is a lot, and it's a travesty to see this offensive line to play the way it plays.
Yeah, man. And I hear the fan base, they're going after Tremaine Edmonds. And at the time, A-Dub, when they signed Tremaine Edmonds, I didn't think that he was a bad player or anything. I just looked at the contract they gave him, and I was like, ooh, that's a bit of an overpay.
Yeah.
And when you looked at that game against the Seahawks, he missed a lot of plays out there, a lot of plays. And I'm sitting here, like, watching from my vantage point. I'm like, I know I got a couple drinks in me, but I'm like, was that Tremaine Edmonds that missed another tackle there? I'm like, am I tripping? Was that Tremaine Edmonds that got blown up on that play? Okay, interesting.
Bro, you know what's crazy, bro? When you talk about Tremaine Edmonds, and it's not just him, though, but again, but talking about him in general, it's like, bro, you've been struggling at stopping the run all season, really. Yeah. Because, like, hey, when these teams run against the Bears, we don't stop nobody, you know? And it's like, what's really going on in that department, you know? And I look at Tremaine Edmonds like, hey, he's supposed to be a leader on his team, you know, get the guys going, you know? And it seems like it's just been a struggle for him all year when it comes down to that, man. It's one of the leaders on his team. And it's not, to your point, it's not saying that he doesn't want to win. It's like, hey, it's how you do it. And it's like, you just haven't seen that leadership, you know, that fire from him to say, hey, you know what? You're going to take responsibility and take control of this defense and try to get some things going, man. And to see him miss a lot of tackles for us, like you're saying, that was tough to see because it's like he already checked out already. That's what it felt like to me. This guy's like, hey, this season's over with. I'm done. Let's get this over with kind of thing.
Well, and that's the thing that I'm kind of seeing with a bunch of these players, man. Because, again, what I was saying earlier, A-Dub, another ugly Thursday night football game, right? Another. I mean, we've become pretty good at those. And the fans that are coming out there, these are people during the holiday season that's sitting out there at Soldier Field. Now, I don't know what the temperature was out there, A-Dub, because I was out in the sunshine. But guess what? You got fans that are brave and whatever the elements are to sit out there and watch terrible football. They deserve better than that shit, bro. They really do.
And when we talk about the fan base, we've been saying this for years, Perez. Chicago Bears fans show up, man. They represent this team. They are diehard fans, what you always talk about, Perez. And to see the fan base continue to show up, man, like they are doing, even when the team is not doing well, it says a lot about the fan base, you know? Like, hey, they are thirsty to get a good team out on the field. But at the end of the day, win or lose, they continue to show up. And I got to give it to the Bears fans for doing that. But I also got to feel bad for us from the standpoint of saying, hey, how much can we take? Because we cannot continue to take this team and losing like this here. When is the Bears fans going to say, you know what? Maybe we don't show up to these games. Maybe we don't become season ticket holders or whatever, right? And it comes to these games. Would that send a message, you know, to ownership and say, hey, give us a better product and then we'll show up?
So, this is the thing, A-Dub. You know that our fan base, they're going to show up to the games.
Yep.
You know that they're going to buy the season tickets because the thing about it is, I'm not telling you anything that you already don't feel, but most of us, this Bears fandom is a curse. It's a gift, but it's a curse.
Yeah.
Because we know that it's an abusive relationship that I talk about all the time. But we keep going back to it because we think, oh, it's going to be different this time. And we continue to walk away from it like, I thought you changed. They have not changed. They're still the same fucked up situations.
Okay, you tell me you love me. You tell me everything's gonna be good, right? And all of a sudden, you're gonna do the same thing again, man. It's like, oh, you know, Nate, this same relationship with the Bears is like, it's a curse, bro. Because like we keep going back, and all of a sudden, we keep getting the same results. They'll act right for a little while, Perez, and then divvy back to the old ways. And this is not a good thing, man, with us when it comes down to Chicago Bears.
And this is the thing, you know, there were so many people that were quick to try to anoint Thomas Brown. And I told you guys, like, Thomas Brown was being put into an impossible situation. He was given a shot, but bro, this shit was already off the rigs, and you put him here. And I mean, there was only so much he was going to be able to do. But now when you look at this team, they've regressed. Because at least at one point, Thomas Brown and Caleb were having some sort of a semblance of a rhythm together, right? But now when I look at this game, 3 points, the offense was horrible. They were sluggish. It just doesn't look good. It's just not good football, bro.
It's not. And this is where I feel bad for Thomas Brown. When you get promoted twice, I mean, that's going to be some struggles, right? But the thing is, with Thomas Brown, it's like you're looking for immediate change right now. See, he wasn't given a grace period to say, hey, give me a couple of weeks and get things going. It was like, hey, you got to make immediate impact right now. So these are different roles, man. And from that standpoint, it's good to get promoted. But at the same time, it was pretty much to Thomas Brown's detriment because, like, hey, he had no chance, bro. It was like a lose-lose situation. It's tough, bro, because you can't do all those things right away. And there's so much you have to do with this team being broken. And it's been broken from the day one, really. So we never got off to a great start regardless. So now you ask this guy to come in, try to fix some things and do a good showing that he's ready for something like this here, when really it was all against him from the start.
I mean, this is the thing. There's only so much he was going to be able to do. And it's unfortunate because I would have loved to see him continue to work with Caleb as the offensive coordinator. Because, again, for me personally, I think that that was where he was going to have his biggest impact on this team. And, yeah, salute to him getting promoted. But I think the promotion really, it's like, okay, well, we gave you a look. So he's not going to probably get a real shot when it comes to this head coaching job, to be honest with you. They're probably going to look past them. They're going to probably look at some other candidates, which we'll get into in a little bit. But the offense continues to have no identity, A-Dub.
None.
And the sacks. I mean, Caleb was sacked 7 times. Quarterbacks develop bad habits when they play behind really bad offensive lines. We saw it with Justin Fields. We're seeing it with Caleb, where he's holding onto the ball too long. We're seeing it where he is not processing what he's seeing. He's not trusting what he's seeing. I'm also seeing Caleb Williams not ripping the ball like he did when he was at USC. I'm like, are they coaching his aggressiveness away from him? Like, I love the fact, okay, great. He's not throwing picks. He's not turning the football over. But the game-changing aspect that I thought we were going to see with this offense, we just haven't seen it, Doug.
You would think we would have seen game-changing offense with the fact that you and I talked about the weapons that Caleb Williams has. You and I went down the path with DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. It's like, wait a minute. He got weapons. And you're right. The offensive line haven't done him any justice, you know? And then you look at the offensive coordinators that he's had. They haven't done him any justice either. So it's like, hey, it's been tough, man, for Caleb Williams to have to do all that and process everything, bro, and go out there and play very good as a quarterback. But you can't do that when you got all these things going up against you, Perez. And I feel bad for Caleb Williams because it feels like they haven't done a great job at investing in his growth, what he does well versus what he doesn't do well. And you can see that there's still some challenges. You're right, holding the football too long. We see that in week 17, he's holding the football too long. Why is that? That quarterback should be way beyond that now, Perez. You see that. He's taking unnecessary sacks, you know? It's like, hey, Caleb, we don't need that, you know? He's trying to do too much, right? Trying to, you know, extend plays, you know, and make something happen. We don't need that, Caleb. You know, you're doing too much of that, you know, and it becomes to your detriment. Hey, man, what are you doing to help this guy out? You know, this is a rookie quarterback who has some promise, and now we're hurting him now. And the thing is, these things can carry over next season, Perez. So I don't know what's going to be Caleb's mindset comes to next season. I applaud him for showing a lot of grit and showing a lot of heart, but that only gets you so far, bro, in the NFL. It's like, hey, you got to execute and be better. So with that standpoint, man, we really need somebody to really help, you know, grow this kid, man, before it's too late.
And another thing too, A-Dub, another game where we see clock mismanagement. This is the shit that got Eberflus. That was the final nail in his coffin against the Lions. But we have it again in this game where we mismanaged the clock at the end of the first and the second half, A-Dub. So in that moment, you didn't even give your team a fighting chance there to score points, especially at halftime. What was the decision there? And then that final fucking drive of the game, that shit was awful.
That just brought back memories of the entire season, Perez.
Yes.
That moment there. Yes. I'm like, come on, man. Here we go again. No one was surprised, really, when it happened, you know? And I said he threw an interception, but it's like, hey, who was stuck on how this game ended? Nobody. Because they're like, hey, this has been going on all season long, man. It's always something. Whether the defense or offense, it's always something, man. And it was just one of those situations where you're like, man, are we ever going to get better in these moments, these crunch time moments? Because we continue to lose these type of games when we have a chance to win.
Dude, I don't get it, bro. Like, we had the ball in Seahawks territory, dude, with a minute left and two timeouts.
Two timeouts.
This is the same shit we saw in the Eberflus. And like I said, again, Thomas Brown, I don't have an opinion one way or the other about the situation with him because I just feel like he was just thrown into an impossible situation. But it's clear after seeing this team regress down the stretch that he's probably not going to be the guy, right? I just don't see that happen.
I think Perez, it did hurt his chances of becoming a head coach, but I also think he hurt his chances of becoming an OC as well because now you are an interim head coach now. It's bigger than just you being an OC now, you know? You had a good showing solidly, you know, when you took on that role, but you were taken out of that role so quickly that we didn't see the fruits of your labor around that. So with that, you talk about going out to be an OC if you wanted to be that. Who's going to give him a great look now, especially if the team scored 3 points? You know what I mean? It's like, hey, so many first halves, you didn't score any points, and then this time you only scored three. Who's going to give this guy a fair chance? You know, it's been really tough on him, man. And I kind of feel bad for him too, Perez, but I tell you one thing, all this adds up and people are going to look and say, hey, is he even an OC at this point?
Well, that's a fair question. I mean, we saw some potential there, but I would have wanted to see that play out because I thought that would have been a better opportunity for him than as the head guy, because it's pretty clear that he's not ready for that. You know, now, whether that may be somewhere else, whether it be on a college level, I just don't think that it's going to happen here. Honestly, bro, I just don't. I don't see it. And I think that whoever they get needs to be somebody from the outside, and they need to bring in an entirely new staff.
Yes.
And as I mentioned earlier, I don't even think Ryan Poles deserves to even hire a new head coach. You the one. Again, on this, you guys remember, and I'm not the guy that's always like, hey, remember I said this, I got this right, because I get things wrong too. But I was confused with the fact that Ryan Poles decided to bring Eberflus back for another year. And in that moment, I wondered, is that Poles' decision or was that Kevin Warren's decision? Because I told you guys, I wrote about it. I said, I feel like there's a power struggle going on right now at Hallis Hall where Kevin Warren is like, no, I got it. You go over there and sit out of the corner.
But Perez, this goes back to what we just heard recently from Eberflus that you just talked about earlier, right? You got all the ass you have. Why bring him back? At that point, you could have said, no, we saw enough. We could have said at that point, Perez, right? Seen enough. It's not going to work out. Let's move in a different direction. Nope, he didn't do that, right? He's like, I'm going to go ahead and give him another shot and then fire him during the season. Still not a good look, man. It's still bad, Perez, because now we're throwing another season down the drain. So at the end of the day, look at Ryan Poles and say, hey, man, what's up? What's up with these moves you're making, man? This is a bad look.
And honestly, that's why for us being on the show, I'm like, you know what? These last couple weeks, I'm like, A-Dub is no point. We're just going to keep saying the same shit over and over again. Nobody wants to hear that. I've wrote about it, and I said, you know what? We don't need to jump on the show. I was like, because this offseason, oh, you and I, we're going to be on this show every week because we got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a lot to dissect. Because you know how last offseason you and I was calling that the most important offseason in the history of this franchise? Well, let's see how they responded to that. So what the hell do you think this offseason is going to be if we said that about last offseason? Because at this point, bro, I'm just over it. I'm over us talking about this shit. I'm over us talking about sell the team and fire this person and fire that person. I just want to see what it feels like to be these teams in our division that are winning. When I watched the Lions play, and I'm like, and I used to hate on the Lions so hard. You guys remember that. I hated on them so bad. Now I'm sitting over here like, dang, that shit look kind of fun over there. I'm like, Dan Campbell, damn, I like this guy. I'm kind of hating a little bit, A Dub, because I'm like, I don't want y'all to win. I just want to be able to say that y'all suck like we do. Now they are winning growing up on me. We're supposed to take back the North, A Dub, and all we do is bring it up the damn rear. So I don't know if that's what he had in mind, but I'm not interested in Ryan Poles. I am not interested. Because again, not even just this Seahawks game. There hasn't been much about this season that's been good, A Dub. And honestly, I just didn't want to be on the show being negative, bro. It's enough of that underworld anyway. I'm like, eh. But this team just continues, A Dub, to find new ways to embarrass not only themselves, but the fan base. Seriously. I saw a guy the other day on a cruise ship. He had a Bears hat on. And somebody was like, they suck. He is, man, like, you know, he don't deserve that. He just trying to be a fan of his team. It's tough out here, man. That's why people will sit here and talk to me about the McCaskies and how much they care. They don't care. They care about greed. And they're going to keep making money. And Kevin Warren, what's going on with that stadium? When you going to break ground? See, A-Dub, it's so much dumb shit going on. They brought him here for that. Now he over here meddling in the head coaching decision because guess what? The GM, he don't have confidence in him. But Kevin Warren, the thing that you were brought here to do, what you doing with that, son? It's a comedy of errors. And you look around, Kevin. This season was about Caleb Williams, bro. This season was about putting the things around her to ensure that what happened to Justin Fields did not happen to Caleb. And it's the same fucking story. It's the same story.
And actually, bro, I think it was worse with Caleb. The fact that you and I talked a lot about the weapons he got that Justin Fields didn't have. So even with that, it's like, hey, it still became a bigger disaster than it was with Justin Fields last season, you know? And it's been bad, man. And when you talk about Kevin Warren now stepping in to try to help out in that area, it's like, you're taking away from what Kevin Warren came here to do now. So now, it's still not a good look at all because now he's not doing what he was hired to do. So this is becoming a bigger distraction now. And who knows what next season's going to look like. Of course, we know they got to bring on a new head coach and all that stuff, Perez. But it's a lot, man, that needs to be done for the Chicago Bears team to become relevant. And I mean by relevant, I'm talking about being good, you know. So it's a lot to take in, a lot to digest with this team. But it's not about us being negative. It's just the reality of it, bro. This is bad, man. This is bad. And you got players right now who are just not happy with the results or how things have shaped out.
Like I said, bro, my biggest concern with this rookie season for Caleb really has just been he's looked a lot more cautious with the football, as I was saying earlier. And when you got a guy like Caleb, and we've heard a lot of people say this, man, Caleb in college, bro, he was a gunslinger. He whipped that damn ball all over the damn field. He has arm talent. You and I talk about that all the time. I think whatever coach we bring in here needs to get that back into his game. He needs to trust what he's seeing out there because he's not trusting what he's seeing right now. He doesn't believe, or he's not confident in the pass protection. I don't care what he says. Holding on to the football. He's not trusting it. Trust what you're seeing. Let that bitch rip. Let it go. That needs to be the motto for him. Let that thing go.
And the other thing, Chris, he has missed open receivers. You know, he overlooked receivers. You know, it's like these are things that we know that he's capable of doing, right? So, I mean, there have been plenty of times where you see someone like Cole Kmet wide open and he wouldn't even pull the trigger. I'm like, what's going on, man? You having these, you know, syndromes where you're not, like you said, not trusting yourself to make the right play, you know? And then sometimes he just does too much, right? And you look at the coaching staff and say, hey, you just need to just fine tune him a little bit, you know what I mean? Someone's going to really have to work with this kid, Perez, and really invest in his development because this season we have not seen that, man, at all. And this kid has been on the island by himself, and that's not a good thing, you know? It's been frustrating losing, and everything just started to pile up, bro, when he's not making the plays that he want to make, you know? And he's making mistakes that I know he can fix easily, you know? But the thing is, all of this, the way that things have worked out has really plagued him, you know? And that offensive line that we not keep talking about, man, has not given this kid any favors at all. And that hurts you, man. When you're taking so many sacks, I mean, what, 67 of them already leads the league in sacks. That's hard when you got a rookie quarterback taking that many sacks, man. That can be very detrimental.
And on top of it, think about this piece. Pre-snap. A lot of this is processing. A lot of this is development. A lot of this is what you're working with the quarterback coach with. the offensive coordinator with. These are areas where I'm seeing that that's where he's struggling. Because if he's holding on to the football, not only is he not trusting what he's saying, he's not processing the things that are happening in front of him. Because, again, right. to the point you made, there have been situations where the receivers have been open. And for some reason, his eyes go elsewhere. That's a problem. Those are things that the new coach is going to have to clean up. The film, listen, there's been some good stuff out there that he's done, right? He's made some really solid throws. At times, he's made some wild throws. But also, a lot of times, I'm just like sitting here thinking, they are really about to ruin another quarterback if we don't get in front of this ASAP.
And yeah, think about him, though. And when you talk about his confidence, Perez, he seems to be more confident in pretty much playing off script than running the play. You know what I mean? It's like he waits until something happens, you know, the play doesn't work, and all of a sudden he's off script, and then he's trying to make something happen, you know? It seems like he's more comfortable in that area than running the play. So you're right. The OC really is going to have to help this guy realize that, hey, the play is going to work. You can use the play. It's something there, you know? So, and again, he got to be confident in those abilities right there and what the play designs are. You got to look at the OC and say, hey, what would we bring on board? Give this kid something to work with, you know? Give him something to feel confident in, you know? And that may help him as well.
And a point that you make that I want to make sure that the audience heard is playing off script. Now, this is an area where this is what Caleb did very well in college, right? But we also know there's levels to this thing. In the NFL, these pass rushers, man, it ain't like in college. Pass rushers just as fast as you, if not faster than you. So a lot of this is Caleb's learned, hey, while I still got talent and I can play off script, you can't make a living off of playing that way. See, your Patrick Mahomes's and your Lamar Jackson's and your Jalen Hurts, these guys can get away with that kind of stuff. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Caleb, but he ain't there yet.
Right.
You know, for Caleb, he needs to have that type of shit in his back pocket, ain't done. But for right now, we need you to play within yourself, play within the system, and go out there and make the plays that are there. So as you mentioned, you got receivers running free, throw them the fucking ball. I'm not trying to come down on the kid. I'm just saying that there are still things there that he can be doing. You know, I'm not going to sit here and just blame everybody around him and then not hold him accountable. Even in that play in the last sequence when they asked him, hey, what happened there? And what he said, he got hit in the throat or whatever, all this stuff. I'm like, bro, that's football. Fine, you must have got hit in your throat, but I don't want to hear that. Take accountability. Now, he has done that for the most part of the season, but in that moment, I'm like, I don't need to hear about you getting hit in the throat. And the coaches didn't see it, maybe. I don't know, Caleb. I didn't see you get hit in the throat either.
Me either, man. You are fine. You up, you standing up, you good, you're not injured, you straight, man. So no one cares about that play, right? It's like, hey, go out there and execute, man. Help yourself, you know? Give yourself a chance to win the football game. And at times, whereas we've seen a lot of that where Caleb did not do a good job in that area. So he has to be better, man. He really does. And we need somebody to work with him to get him to that level. But you're right. It's a lot of things they can clean up to be a better quarterback. And making the right play, you know, check downs. Remember, he had it going on early in the season at first, Perez. He was making some strides in that area. Then all of a sudden, he takes some steps back to where now he's looking for the big plays. I'm like, hey, make the simple play. Players on this team can definitely, you know, make plays. You know, these guys can get the football and pick up yards after the catch. Let them do some of the work. You want to do all the heavy lifting, you know, because he's done a lot of running this season, even with him, you know, running the football as a ball carrier. It's like, you done some great things. But at the end of the day, we don't need you doing everything for this team, man. Let some of these other players take some of that load off the shoulder.
It's going to be this offseason, bro. I promise you, A-Dub, it's going to be something crazy. Because when you and I are down there at that Senior Bowl, bro, I'm going to be watching every Bear-related personnel. And if I don't see them over there with the offensive linemen, I promise you, audience, I'm going to be on this show, and I'm going to let you guys know what I'm seeing. Dub's going to let you know what he's seeing. And I promise you, they better be living in those offensive line drills. I promise you, I better not see them take their eyes off of any offensive line target, because they have ignored this offensive line far too long. And Kevin Warren, again, I got something else for you, sir. Now, you put your full support behind Ryan Poles as your general manager after Eberflus got fired. But in all seriousness, are you really that confident in the job that he's done? Like, let's just really think about that. I mean, All right, audience, this is probably going to be a cheap shot. But at this point, I don't care anymore. The Chase Claypool trade. Who made that?
Ryan Poles.
Okay. Who traded for Ryan Bates?
Ryan Poles.
Now, Ryan Bates, A-Dub, I think he could probably be a solid football player, but he's played in three games. Who signed Nate Davis, even though people warned you not to do that?
Ryan Poles.
Who traded Roquan Smith?
Ryan Poles.
I don't want to get into a bunch of more because it's going to make me mad, because these are just things that I'm just firing off the top of my head, A-Dub, but it's making me mad. It's really making me mad. Velus Jones, Zach Pickens. Like, can I do? Can audience? Can I talk my shit? Can I talk my shit? DeAndre Swift. I didn't see it, bro. I did not see it. What are we doing? We let David Montgomery walk. Why? That man's gone over there to Detroit and had a career renaissance. Salute to you, Monty. I hope you recover well from that very tough injury to see, because he was having a year, bro.
He was.
Ryan Poles has done a lot. He's had a lot of bad on that resume, bro. A lot of bad on that resume.
Well, the highlight of his career, Perez, has been how he finessed the Panthers, you know, with the number one.
Yeah, but you know what? You're right. He finessed the hell out of it, but you can't live off that forever.
Right. That's the point right there, bro. That's the highlight right there. That means you haven't done anything else since then. What else have you done for the team? We're tired of hearing about that. Good job there. Okay, we gave you kudos. Now, what else are you doing for the Chicago Bears? Mm-hmm. We got to move on from that. So it's like, hey, you can't continue to roll off that. But guess what? The spotlight is all on Ryan Poles moving forward, bro. It's not about no OC. It's not about no head coach. It's about what Ryan Poles is going to do, bro. It's about him. And how Kevin Warren now has entered this equation, unfortunately. Yes. So yes, it's what those two dudes going to do. Spotlight is on them from here on out, bro. That's what it's all about. What do they do now? We know what the problems are. What do you do? How do you fix it? Let's see if you all can fix it. Because now you both are on a hot seat, unfortunately. You're on a hot seat.
And I don't have confidence in either one of them to get it right, is my point. You know, I'm not trying to come for Kevin Warren. I mean, when he was commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, you know, people were indifferent. People had a lot to say about him. I thought he did okay there. But in his role here as team president, the thing that he was tasked with coming here to do, nothing has happened.
Nothing.
And I'm like, that's the Chicago Bears way. People come here and they tell you what they're going to do, and they don't do shit. Like, it's insane, A-Dub. I mean, so many broken promises. As I always say, bro, that's like the father to tell the kid, I'm going to take you to fucking Chuck E. Cheese, and he don't even come pick you up. That's how I be feeling with this damn team. I'm sitting here like, I'm waiting for it. I got so excited, man, this summer, man, when I was at Hallis Hall for training camp and covering that. I loved it. I was like, oh, it's a buzz in the building. Hard Knocks. We were all over here. Oh, my God, Hard Knocks. Oh, we couldn't get enough of it. And now we're over here with this 4-12 shit. Like, huh, how does that taste, guys?
We've been bamboozled.
We've been lied to. We've been run amok. We've been led astray.
Once again, friends, that's what it comes down to. Like, man, when are we going to get past this, you know? And here we are, 4-12, man. Not a good season. And this is the season I said we should win at least 10 games. If not, it's a failure.
I remember that.
I did. Remember, I went on record, friends. I was all excited. I'm drinking the juice. Hey, look, I'm thinking we're going to do some great things, man. Nope.
You definitely was drinking the Kool-Aid, A-Dub. You definitely was drinking the Kool-Aid. Put that shit down, son.
Real, man. I don't need this no more, man. Whatever that was I had that morning, Prince, I can't drink that again, bro. It's over.
The last time we was on here, A-Dub, you and I, we talked about a couple. We almost kind of labeled them like off-the-radar type of candidate choices for the Bears. Bill Belichick was mine. He's since gone on to take the job in North Carolina. I was really pissed off to hear that Belichick had legit interest in returning to the NFL, and it don't seem like the Bears were interested. It don't seem like any team was interested. So he went to college as a big fuck you to the NFL. So salute to him. And your boy Frank Smith, he's not really showing up on any of the radar, so maybe he needs a little bit more time. But the Pete Carroll rumors that are out here, A-Dub. Now, of course, you and I, we know about all the hot names. Your Ben Johnsons, your Kellen Moores, your Liam Combs. But Pete Carroll. 73-year-old Pete Carroll. His name continues to keep popping up, A-Dub. So I want to get your thoughts there on Pete Carroll as a potential candidate for the Chicago Bears coaching job.
I gotta give Pete Carroll some credit as to what he was able to do with Seattle Seahawks. I mean, they won a championship. Should have won too. You know,
that's but whose on fault Pete was Carroll. That? But whose fault
Pete
was that?
Carroll.
Okay.
But from that standpoint, you know, there are some good things that he may be able to bring. But for Chicago Bears, I don't trust him. I don't think it's the right fit for him in Chicago, man. I don't think it's the team for him. I just don't see it, bro, because his last few seasons with Seattle didn't go quite well, you know. And he was part of the problem, you know. It's like that team really went down and he hurt the locker room, bro, in many cases, you know, based upon that. And I'm like, I don't need that kind of thing coming here in Chicago. So for me, I'm not on the Pete Carroll train saying, hey, bring him to Chicago, bro. He can stay where he is. I think we need some new life somewhere else, you know. You know, so I'm with one of those guys there to say, look, I don't need to see Pete Carroll in the Chicago Bears, you know, coaching staff. You know, I don't want to see it, bro. So that's just where I'm at with it. Again, he had his shine where things went well. But, I mean, the last few seasons that he was there in Seattle, we just saw the trickle down, man. Since they lost that Super Bowl, things kind of went down, you know, negatively for Seattle. You know, it never got back on track from there. So I don't think Pete Carroll, you know, would be a good fit for the Chicago Bears at this point.
So this is my thing. I do agree with you because I did not like how you could tell that there was something that happened in that locker room, whether it was the Russell Wilson dynamic and how Pete Carroll probably, you know, kind of placated to him a little bit more, not giving Beast Mode the football on the 1 yard line, which I don't even have to get into that with y'all. Dumbest decision I've seen in a very long time.
Right.
But I think you at least interviewed a guy. I think you at least talked to him, right? Because Pete Carroll at 73 has done a lot in this game, right?
I agree.
And so there's things there you could get from him. Shit, the guy was a legend at USC. Goes to Seattle, wins there. There's things there that will help those guys in that room as they're evaluating. I say you never miss out on an opportunity to interview a guy like that, which is why I thought at least have a conversation with Belichick. You should have had a conversation with Harbaugh. I don't give a fuck what him and Kevin Warren feel towards each other. You have the conversation. You pick up a fucking phone. Anyway. But looking at Pete Carroll, I don't think it's the best fit. But what I do think is this team, A-Dub, what it needs is culture. And I think that a guy like Pete Carroll, he showed you where he's gone. He's had a culture. Now, towards the end of that Seattle thing, to your point, you're right. That thing fell off the fucking, well, it fell off the fucking tracks real, real bad, right? But the Bears, we need leadership and we need stability. And I think those are things that he could do. And you can see the type of quarterbacks that he's been able to have success with. He ain't never had no quarterback like Caleb, bro.
No.
So that would be interesting. But the things with those Seattle teams is that Legion of Boom defense. Bro, I would love to see what somebody like a Pete Carroll could do with this Bears defense because our Bears defense ain't had no bite to it in a very long time. Nobody's fearing the Bears defense. Nobody fears his defense.
Right.
Nobody fears anything about this team. We need somebody that's going to come in here and bring some respectability to this organization, to this franchise. He could do that. I just don't know if he's the guy for this.
But you're right. When you talk about what he's been able to do from a defensive standpoint, and the Bears do have some pieces on defense. I mean, you and I are raved about our secondary, bro. We got some good guys in that department, though. You know, I'm not saying they're the Legion of Boom, you know what I mean? But the thing is, they are good, though, you know? Really good with Jalen Johnson, you know, Tariq Stevenson when he's got his mind right, you know.
Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on him. We could do a whole podcast episode on that guy.
Right. You got Kyler Gordon. I know what you mean. I know where you're going with, you know. You look at Kyler Gordon, who's very good. You know, it's like they got some guys in the secondary, you know. But the thing is, Pete Carroll's a guy that probably could bring some accountability in that area, right? I just don't know about everything else that goes along with Pete Carroll. Would it work for the Chicago Bears, you know? And that's what really the key when it comes down to him coming to this franchise, like, hey, what else can you do other than that, you know?
So I don't know, bro, but I will tell you this. If you hire Pete Carroll and he turns this damn thing around here in Chicago, he'd be a legend in the coaching circle for the rest of eternity. That's what, see, that's the thing. Whatever coach comes in here and they turn this thing around, nobody gonna be talking about no Coach Dicker no more. And I know people gonna get mad at me. They're like, Perez, how dare you? I'm just telling you, we get somebody to turn this thing around, y'all gonna be forgetting about 85. We should be talking about 85 anyway.
This is 2024 heading to 2025. Ain't no way we should be talking about the 85 Bears. We should 40 not.
40 years ago. 40 years ago. I was a kid running around playing with Tycho, and we still over here talking about that. I want to win something now, bro. I want to be 80 over here talking about some 85 Bears, man. When I was four, they won it all.
I don't want to be one of those guys waiting like we waited, with the Chicago Cubs. You know me, I'm a Cubs fan, bro. We waited a long time to see us win a championship, a World Series. Look, I don't know, man. We can't wait no another 40-some years or whatever to see this team win, man. I may not be around for that, Press. You know
That's
what
what
I
I'm
mean?
trying to tell you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's already promised. It's already
Right.
promised.
Oh, man, we need to see some things going in the right direction to show that we got a chance, because the Bears haven't had a chance in a long time, man. And I gotta give Lovey a little credit here because he helped get the Bears to the Super Bowl, but at the end of the day, we didn't win it. So look, we gotta win it, man. That's where we're at right now. We want to see the Bears team get to that point and win the Super Bowl.
Oh, A-dub. I feel like this bear shit, man, they're gonna send me back to therapy. That's all I'm gonna tell you, honest. That's all I can tell you. That's because this shit here, this is not healthy. It's really not. And we should have cared more than the people in that building. And I'm not talking about the players. We should care more than the McCaskies, the owners of this damn franchise. I just don't think they care as much as everybody claims. I really don't. And if they really are serious about all that shit they're talking, then they will go out there and they will get the best candidate. They will pay top dollar for that candidate, but not just that candidate, the staff. The supporting pieces is just as important as the guy at the top. And if they don't go out there and get the best coordinators that's out there at every fucking position, then they're not serious. If you're not bringing the best offensive line related scouts into your building, because that's an area where you guys need help, look at this offensive line. They want to talk to us about the best depth. Don't even get me started. That's worse than the Tyrique Stevenson one. That's low-hanging fruit. I wish I would. The point is, audience, everything from the top to the bottom needs to be cleaned out. Seriously. You need to cut it all out. This is a tumor and it needs to go.
Yeah, man, they got some cleaning house to do for sure, bro. And you're right, you got to start fresh. And that's why you and I were talking about, hey, it's a lot that need to be done with this team, man. Not just the offensive line, man, but putting the right people in the right place that can help this team move forward. If you don't have the best coaches, praise to you, what you talked about. And I got to give the Lions a lot of credit because they do that. They got some good coaching overall. The Bears don't have that. You got to really up your game, man. You just can't look at say, hey, we hired the right head coach and think that's all good. That's not enough. You got so much you need to get done here to help move this team forward. But at the end of the day, it's going to show. It's really going to show.
You know what they need to do? They need to bring Exhibit in here, X to the Z. He needs to come in here. He needs to pimp this team out. He needs to come in there. You remember he would sit there, he would look, and he'd be like, oh, yeah, this shit gross. This is disgusting. No, you can't be riding a ride like this. That's what he needs to do. He needs to be in Hallis Hall looking around like, nope. No, that's bogus. He's like, we gonna fix this. We're going to fix that. Y'all remember the show Pimp My Ride? That's what we need to do. We need to bring Exhibit in here, and he needs to pimp this whole motherfucking team out. Everything needs to be fucking shit. I'm talking about, I want the goldfish in the trunk. Y'all remember that shit? We need all that. All that. Give me that. Make it happen.
I like that analogy right there, Prez. That's a good one right there, man. That's exactly what the Chicago Bears has to do, man. Hey, fix this entire thing here. It's a problem. Everything is a problem, Because guess what? If you don't do all that, your quarterback is going to struggle. The wide receiver is going to struggle, The offensive line is going to be a problem. Everything's going to be a problem. You don't have the right coaches out there, man. So they got to do a lot of work right there. And that's, to me, I think that's a big priority, right along with the offensive line that you're referring to.
Well, audience, we'll be back next week to put a bow on the 2024 season and what it wasn't. And we got the Packers up next. I hope they sit Caleb Williams next week because I don't see the point of him playing, but we'll get into that at that time. And again, audience, happy holidays to y'all. Enjoy this time with your loved ones. And you know what? Hopefully, the Bears won't be such a depressing thing to talk about because I'm telling you, ain't the. If you were my guy, man, and you know what I'm saying, and I didn't enjoy talking to you, I would be on this show right now. Because I'm sitting here like, bro, I could find 50,000 other things to do right now that are better than talking about this team. But A-Dub's my guy. So I was like, man, let me catch up with my boy A-Dub, and I guess maybe we'll talk about some Bears. Maybe we'll talk about some Bears. Here we
And
are.
it's always a pleasure to talk to you about the Bears anyhow, bro. It's always good to catch up in general. And so man, it's always good to catch up with you on this. But at the end of the day, we gotta tell our fan base, hey, when you see the Bears play against the Packers, go in that game with no expectations at all. Just let it all play out.
I don't think you got to worry about that when they do. They just saw that 63 loss against the Seahawks. I think everybody knows what's getting ready to happen in the last game of the season. I think we all do. But you know what? We'll be here. We'll recap it. We'll talk about it. And again, audience, until that moment, I'm going to enjoy my New Year festivities. Until then, bear the fuck down, and we are out.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.